The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
Headwack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another edition, episode, transition, whatever it is. Another Saturday with the Data Doctors here, talking to you about computer technology, about your problems, your issues, the things that frustrate you or that make you happy. We've been here for over a decade, and we invite you to participate in the show. You can do so in many ways. We've got the website, datadoctors.com/radio. That'll take you to some resources. We always come with a theme in tow. We'll talk about that in a second. Of course, you can dial in on the phone line, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. And, of course, when you're at the site, datadoctors.com/radio, you'll see links to ask a question, give us feedback. You can participate in the blogs. There's all kinds of things for you to do there. So check those things out. Jump on. And usually the phone lines, if you've paid attention to the show at all in the last decade or so, you'll know that they generally get booked up and you'll get busy signals. So my advice is to jump on in early because we have all the lines open right now. They're clear. They're ready for you. 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Now we set up the show. Now we can talk.
Now we can actually just converse.
Just converse?
Just converse.
You know what today's topic is?
Audio in a digital age.
Audio in the digital age. Big difference there, Kevin.
I'm sorry.
Not in a digital age, in the digital age. I don't really know exactly what that refers to.
Well, there's only really one digital age, so you can't have multiple, right?
True. I think that's true.
So hence the instead of the A.
But if you're an audiophile, if you're looking to buy an iPod or what's that other thing that Microsoft makes? A Zune.
The Zune.
Or the iPod ripoffs or the Zune ripoffs or whatever the case might be. This might be a show for you if you're looking for ways to take those old CDs or maybe those old LPs, you know, records, old 8-track, whatever it is, and convert those things to digital audio. We can talk about that. We've got resources posted for you, again, at datadoctors.com/radio. Ways to help you get from the analog age to the digital age. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the cool things coming with you know, it's you've got iTunes and the ability to go purchase music there, and now the competitor, which is kind of coming out of left field, I gotta admit I didn't see this one coming. MySpace is now becoming a big iTunes competitor. MySpace started as, well, who knows what it started as, a way for bands to sort of get known, and grew into overnight sort of a way for teenagers to communicate and create websites fairly easily. And not good ones at that, but it's now turned into, they have all these, everybody's page, MySpace page you go to, has music playing as soon as you get to the page, and there's like a little music player, and there's all kinds of music that you can tie into those things there on MySpace. And now they're starting to actually sell that music by the song, kind of like iTunes. And so it's just another one of the giants out there trying to get in on the game. The digital age of music, a lot of people remember, they think its start was with Napster. And that's what most people recognize as digital music. MP3s, if you say the word MP3, a lot of people think, oh, you mean Napster. Well, that was kind of where it got mainstream or where it became center stage and where it got exposed. But there's lots of things there out there, legal and otherwise. We'll talk about the legal ones that lend themselves well to digital music. And again, there's lots of people that have a huge collection of music that they bought maybe back in the day or even recently. They bought it on CD and they want to get that converted. They want to get it on their iPod or their new iPhone, which has the iPod interface in it. There's people now, I know people, a lot of people actually, that have changed out their factory stereos for aftermarket that include the ability to store music on the actual aftermarket radio or on some kind of interface to it. And so digital media in the car is starting to become something pretty popular. Of course, there's all kinds of docking stations and things and contraptions for your home stereo to be able to stitch your iPod or other kinds of things on to listen there. So we can take the conversation in just about any direction. I think this is something that a lot of people maybe think they know a lot about, but we're going to talk about some new things in the digital audio world. And we'll just, of course, talk to you about whatever your technology or computer issues, problems, frustrations, or guidance needs are. Again, the number 602-277-5827. Commit that number to memory because those lines are all booked up now. But when you hear somebody hang up as the show progresses, that's your cue to dial on in. Now, I know, Kevin, you, you're a Zune guy, right?
Yeah, that's what I got.
And for people who don't know, the Zune is basically Microsoft's iPod, if you will. Kevin's also an interesting guy because he not only has the Zune, but he also has an iPhone, which of course means then he has an iPod because that's part of the iPhone. So you have both sides of the world, the good and the evil. You can decide which is which.
Well, I rarely use the iPod feature on the iPhone just because the whole reason for getting the Zune was to avoid iTunes and their rules that they have.
And what are the rules that they have that you don't like?
Well, with the Zune, I can listen to whatever I want for like $15 a month. So it's like the price of a CD every month. With the iPod, you have to buy the songs for 99 cents a piece, which can add up considering how much music I listen to.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of music, and that's what you'll find is strange is on my phone, if I open up the iPod interface, you're going to find a grand total of zero songs on my phone.
Yeah.
Not one.
And the battery, you know, you use it to talk and I'll horse around with some of the apps, but
the important
really
one
kills
is the
battery.
The lightsaber, right?
Oh, yeah, it's most important.
You got to have that.
It impresses all the ladies. They love it.
Does it? See, I'm married and beyond that, but I wouldn't figure that the lightsaber would be the thing you'd want to whip out.
People. It's a little scary. If you go to the store and you whip that out, they think that Darth Vader's down the aisle.
All right. Well, I'll be careful with that.
All right.
So we're talking about digital music, audio in the digital age, actually. We've got resources posted for you, datadoctors.com/radio. And when we come back, we're going to talk to a few folks on the phones. We've got lines that are not open, but that will be available when you hear people hang up. 602-277-5827. We're going to take a quick timeout, quick check of traffic and weather. No, we're not going to do that yet. Pete's looking at me in disgust and disappointment. Oh, we have no such things right now. So rather than do that, why are you looking at me like that?
Do you feel stupid?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
These things happen.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Okay.
Could have been me.
It could have been you. But instead it was me. So just go to a regular break. Is that what we're going to do here? We're just going to go to a regular break. It says no traffic. See, he put that there on the screen for me. It's a good thing Pete knows what's going on around here because we'd be lost without him.
Completely.
We're going to take a quick break, caffeinate. When we come back, we won't be lost. And we'll have your calls, your questions right here on the Computer Corner, FM News Talk 92.3. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Kevin says, hey, Brandon, that's us, I think. I don't know why he was whispering. Did you think it meant maybe people would hear?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. It's good to know. You know what? I'm going to save some of the audio in the digital age and the references to Edison and his first recording on a tinfoil cylinder. I'm gonna save that for a bit. Let that cook in your brain.
Let me think about it.
Yeah.
Roll over it.
And let's see if we can talk to a few people who jumped on early and see if we can save ourselves from our big blunder. Should we do that?
Yeah.
Let's start with Vicky first. Vicky, you're first up here on the Computer Corner. Welcome. How can we help?
Well, I have Windows XP, and I have a 5-button mouse. It's wireless.
A 5-button mouse?
Yes.
That's some bling bling.
Wow, you got to have a lot of fingers and toes to work that thing, huh?
Well, I actually don't even like it because I'm always pressing the wrong button on accident. But my problem is, on both this mouse and then the mouse I use when I'm working at work, which is a regular 3-button mouse, only in Word, the scroll button doesn't work. So I'm not thinking it's not the mouse because it doesn't matter which mouse I use. It works in all other programs, Excel, you know, online, Outlook, everything.
So your mouse just doesn't work in Word, and this happens on more than one computer with more than one mouse?
Same computer, two different mice.
Two mice, one
and
computer.
And only in Word. And it's only the scroll wheel.
That sounds like the beginning of a movie preview.
Two mice, one computer, in a land where the mouse didn't work in Word.
And it works fine if I'm on the scroll bar, but it doesn't work if I'm using the wheel. Like,
So the scroll wheel is the only thing that's not working?
Precisely.
Okay. So my guess is that there's some software that a lot of aftermarket... Wow, are you in the fly zone? That's awesome.
Well, apparently, right now I am.
Yeah, a lot of third party. Well, if you go out and buy a mouse, a lot of times it'll come with software that it tries to get you to install,
mm-hmm.
and the software in a lot of cases isn't necessary unless you have a 5-button mouse, which you have. It's designed to help you take all those extra buttons and turn them into special features.
Exactly.
What I'm guessing has happened is that software is now interfering with the little scrolly wheely dealy that would normally just scroll. And so it's been assigned to some other task, even though you may not have actually tried to do that. And so if you go into the control panel, my guess is you're going to find a little applet or a utility that'll let you go in and assign buttons, and you can assign the scroll wheel to scroll, of all things. Or, alternatively, you might look in the add remove programs and just kill that piece of software. Because I'm guessing that you're not using the 5 buttons in special ways, and you really just want to use a couple buttons in the scrolly-dealy, in which case, if you uninstall the software, Windows has everything it needs to be able to just use that natively without that extra add-on software stuff.
Even though it's wireless?
Even though it's wireless, yes, generally speaking. Now, it depends on how it's set up. A lot of times these wireless mice, they come, there's like two components to it, right? There's the mouse itself, and then there's like this little box that has... it's either an infrared or a radio signal interface, and it plugs in through like a USB port on the computer.
That's correct.
It'll need what's called a driver for that, but all the other software probably not. Before I'd go and just rip that stuff out, though, I'd try to go into the control panel and just see if there's a little utility that's been added by this third-party mouse.
And there is, and I have it set to scroll one row at a time.
One row at a time?
Yeah, because... if I do more than that, then it skips past things that I need to see.
I'm trying to think about what a row would be in Word.
Like, you know, when you're, like, one page, now, instead of going down one page, I have it move one line at a time.
Yeah, so I'm just thinking that there's some incompatibility with that software and Windows, and if you can disable the software, if you can remove that software, whatever it is, if it was me, that's what I would start looking at. It's going to be in that little extra piece of software. And it may be that it wasn't well written for the version of Windows you've got or some other combination of things that's happening there. But that's where your issue is going to be tied up in. Is this some name brand mouse or some...
I don't think so. I think I got it at Staples or something like that several years ago, and it's worked fine on every other computer.
Okay.
But not this one. So I'm just going to uninstall it and then use my plug-in mouse.
There you go. when all else fails, go back to the caveman times of computers.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You didn't like my movie preview idea?
No, I think that was really good. I think you need to do the opening to the show.
The opening to the show?
Yeah.
In movie guy voice?
Oh, totally.
I got to work on movie guy voice first, though.
No, it's pretty... I'd give you an A.
In a world?
Maybe an A-.
With two mice?
Yeah.
It just sounded so much like the typical, you know...
In a world. One mouse.
Yeah.
On a journey.
Just an epic tale of mice and computers.
I mean, they always make these previews into such silliness. And they do it with digital audio. Do you know, in the radio business, I've been around this business for quite a long time from doing this show here for over a decade now. When I first came here, all the commercials, or what they call spots in the biz, all the commercials were on these tapes that look like big 8-track tapes. They were called carts. And they would, every time a commercial break would come, they had like 3 cart machines over where Pete sits over there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these things lined up, and they had stacks of tapes. And they had these paper documents they'd look through and see. And they would stack up the tapes in the order of what they should be playing the commercials in, right? And they'd pull out these tapes and shove them in these cart machines and hit a green button. And it would play through, and at the end... they'd hit a cue button, so it'd be queued back up, ready for next time, and then they'd put it in the stack over here and take the next one off, and off they'd go. This is where things were when I got here. Today, they've taken all that kind of stuff, and they've taken all the commercials and all the spots, and even the show intro. That's all been converted, and it's on a computer. Now Pete over there, he just double-clicks on a file, or he lines them up. Like when it comes time for a commercial break, he lines up four or five things. Like right now, that music you hear in the background, that's being played through the magic of digital audio. All the commercials you hear during the break, our show rejoiner, the traffic sounds, everything you hear on this station, it all comes off a computer now. And it's really revolutionized?
Mm-hmm.
The world we're in. Even you know, the fact that they can do this kind of stuff now means that people who cut commercials can be in complete different cities, in complete different places than where the radio stations and TV stations are. And they transport this stuff right over the internet. And
well, when the show is done and it's put on the website, then we become digital audio.
It's amazing. Everywhere. I'm telling you. We've got resources posted for you. Datadoctors.com/radio. Check those things out. And up next, when we come back, more of your calls and questions. 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Kevin Church, Brandon Disney, back right after this short break. Stick around. We're talking audio in the digital age here on the Computer Corner. If you want to join in on the conversation, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR, of course, anytime online at datadoctors.com/radio. See, even the rejoiner music.
That was digital.
It's digital. When I'm thinking back about how archaic, even this business that's all about audio, the radio business, how archaic it was just 10 years ago, and how much digital audio has impacted its world. It's pretty insane.
It is a little out of control.
Yeah, even like so stations that aren't in a format like this that are talk, but music stations, hardly any of them actually have discs and CDs and that kind of stuff anymore. They've all that stuff's in a computer. Their playlists just pull right up. They slide music in. They do their thing. It's all done on computers now.
I haven't bought blank CDs in probably 3 years. There's just no need if you have like an MP3 player unless you're going to copy some data or something. But then you can just
maybe
email
for your
it.
Car if you don't have a jack to plug in.
Well, they have those radio signal things that you can plug in the headphones. It's not great, but you don't have 100 CDs you got to take with you everywhere.
Excuse me while I puke in my mouth, dude. Those things are awful. those are really bad.
Oh, they're rough. But it's all about finding the right station, hanging the thing close to your antenna, and then driving in parts of town that don't have a lot of radio interference.
I would rather kill myself. I hate those things with a passion.
They're pretty nice.
No, they're not good at all.
They're really good.
There's nothing good about them.
That was the most irritated I've seen you in a while.
It was actually half a put on. Hey, you know, if you're looking for digital audio out there, and an interesting kind of experiment, if you will, in the digital audio realm, there's lots of online radio stations. In fact, you can listen to this very fine station here online. You can listen to our voices with a little bit of delay, but 10 seconds isn't going to kill you. There's a way to create sort of your own radio station online. Many people have found out about it, but a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, don't know. If you go over to Pandora.com, Pandora, like from, you know, the Bible, or from, I guess that's the reference, right?
Pandora's Box.
Yeah, Pandora's Box. Anyway, we've got a link, datadoctors.com/radio, third one down, make your own online radio station with Pandora. What you do is you go online to their site, you put in the name of a song or of a band or something that you're interested in. Let's say you put in Rush, because Kevin's a big Rush fan.
I was going to say Poison, but...
Oh, even better. And and look what the cat drug in. Mm-hmm. And up comes a Poison song. And it may not always be a Poison song, but almost always. If you put in by a band, they'll give you one of their songs first. It starts playing it. You can thumbs up, thumbs down. When you thumbs up, thumbs down, you're telling it, yeah, I think I dig this. This fits what I was looking for. Thumbs down means no, not really what I was looking for. What it does then is looks for other music that's very similar in nature. And it starts to play other bands and other things that are similar. And it judges similarity based off of a huge database that's been amassed where they look at different characteristics of every song that's been cataloged, something called the Music Genome Project, and they try to match things up. And so they say, well, this has these 12 characteristics, much like people judge a bottle of wine. And then they match that up and say, okay, well, here's some other bands, other singers, other whatever it is, that made up with that pretty nicely, and it creates a what they call a station. And you can go in and create a profile and create lots of stations, and wherever you go, you just log in, and all your stations are there for you, and you listen, and it's pretty cool. So that's one way. Another way people have found something called SeekPod, and it's spelled a little bit interesting, SeekPod, SeekPod.com. It works a little bit differently. You go there, you put in the name of a song, name of a band, same kind of premise, but it will go out and scour like a Google. This is the Google of audiophiles, if you will. It goes out and it knows about a bunch of sites out there, millions of sites, and it knows what music is at what site. And when you search for something, it shows you a listing of every version of that song. And there may be 12 different ones, 6 of them are live performances, 2 different album cuts, this, that, the other, an extended version, whatever. And they're all listed there, and you can listen to them in real time. You can slide them into like a little music player so you can start to queue up different songs. Very interesting kind of thing. If you haven't checked it out, it's interesting. SeekPod is another link at our resources, again, online at datadoctors.com/radio. So a couple of little tidbits, if you will, of the digital audio stuff that's available out there for you. You might want to check those things out. Back to the phones. Up next, it's Alex on the Computer Corner. Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How can we help, sir?
I was remembering about I would like to see where I could get a good media player that is pretty stable, that they're not changing in the future here. You know how we had Jukebox Match, and then they went to Yahoo, and then they cut that out, and so now they're kind of throwing it away.
They're throwing what away? I'm confused.
What I'm saying is that, you know how they're changing? They went away. Jukebox Match went away.
Music Match?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's different companies that have tried their hand, and some of them still are in the game. There's the real player. Of course, you've got what's built into Windows and the Windows Media Player. Most people are familiar with the iTunes, which is obviously another option that's out there. There's something else that a lot of people are starting to jump on board with if they don't like iTunes or the Windows Media Player, both of which sort of tried to promote purchasing additional things. What's that other one called? Songbird? Yeah, Songbird. Another one.
I was noticing that not a lot of them, like the old MP3 players and stuff like that, they don't really interact very well with them.
What is it you're trying to do?
Like, say if you have an old RCA MP3 player and I want to, you know, be putting stuff into it, it's hard to get it to talk with the media player to the old RCA MP3 to add to it.
Yeah, if you have sort of off-brand ones, it is more difficult to find media players that are going to interface. A lot of those, though, when you plug them in, they become a drive letter in My Computer, and you can simply drag and drop music off into there. Some of the sync functionality and things isn't there when you go that route. There's something else out there called J River Media Player. It's one that seems to have the most support because it's sort of half open source, and so anybody that has a strange media player that's an off-brand one, they can go and write in an interface for that, basically, that plugs into the program so that you can use it with the program. So you might want to give that one a try.
What is it? It's called again?
J River Media Player.
Oh, okay.
So there's...
Yeah, because I know that Jukebox was pretty good, but then they took that away, and then all of a sudden they went to Yahoo, and then they're taking that away. So everybody's, like, changing and taking it away.
A lot of change in that world. A lot of things coming together and merging, and it's still relatively new when you think about sort of the digital age, if you will, and a lot of that's changing. But if you do have one of the reasons why if you're going to go out and buy a MP3 player, you might want to think about how you're actually going to use that thing. And if the ability to sync up and to use some of the advanced functions and things is important, you might want to stick with one of the bigger names in the game. Certainly, beyond the Apple iPods and the Microsoft Zins, there are a couple other. Creative Labs is generally one of the more popular ones. And what's that? Samsung? They seem to have pretty nice players. They tend to try to rip off the sort of iPod look and feel, but those generally are pretty well supported. When you get into really less mainstream ones, then you're left with the interface basically being like a drive letter, and you can drag and drop things, but you're pretty limited on how you get music in and out of them. So
yeah, I was noticing that you know, you gotta, it's kind of like you gotta fit it together or it's not gonna work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So check out that Jay River. It might help you out. Also, just Google a little bit on the exact model of player you have and look for media centers, maybe. So if it's RCA model XYZ and media players, and you might find some other people out there who've had the same problem who posted, oh, here's what I found and here's how I made this work. So,
yeah, cool.
Okay.
Hey, well, thank you, guys.
Hey, you bet, Alex. Thanks for the call.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That frees up a line, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. You know, there was something else I was thinking about with the iPhone in particular. It has to do with digital audio, and it's kind of cool. Have you used that Shazam application?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
This is the coolest thing ever for people who haven't seen this. It's an application on the phone that you start, and you hit a little button, and it basically uses the microphone in the phone to listen to whatever song is playing, and it gets about a 10-12 second clip of the song. It connects up to the internet real quick, and it figures out with high degree of accuracy what the song is, and it'll in a few seconds report back to you, it's this song by this artist with this album. It gives you links to go download the song then. I mean, you can listen to a little snippet, make sure it's actually what you were listening to. I was on a trip pretty recently, and the people I was with were amazed at how accurate. There was some obscure stuff coming on. We were driving kind of on the road, and I had the XM stuff going, and there was obscure songs coming on, and this thing nailed every single one of them, one after another after another.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. There's another one on there. It's not quite as good for recorded songs that you hear, but it's called Midomi.
Midomi, yeah.
And you can hum or sing to it,
yeah.
And it'll try to guess. So I was trying to hum something pretty popular, and it kind of came up with it, but...
Yeah, see, I got that app the other night just to play with it. These are free apps out on the iTunes app.
Were you
humming
like Kelly Clarkson and Britney Spears into it?
No, I don't know those. I would have come to your house if I needed that
day. Yeah.
We tried out. There was a song playing in the background, and it couldn't figure out what it was. It was a pretty popular song. There was something that came on. It was a Kid Rock song. It's fairly new. It's the one that they use on the National Guard commercials. Had no idea what that was, but Shazam knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Tried humming some stuff that we thought was pretty popular and tried singing it too. Yeah. It could also be that I can't hum or sing, but...
You're probably tone deaf.
Tone deaf?
Mm-hmm.
What? I can't hear you.
Yeah.
I'm tone lope deaf.
Word.
Did that even make sense?
Yeah, it kind of did. I got it. I don't know how many other people did, but...
I don't know.
At least I did.
At least you got it. That's right. What really counts.
Exactly.
When we come back from this short break, we've got John, Jackie, Arthur, Steve, and, of course, waiting for you online at datadoctors.com/radio. It's the Computer Corner. Stay tuned. Just getting a little
jiggy with it
on a Saturday afternoon. Thanks for filling in that.
No problem. I wanted to say jiggy.
I knew you did.
I was looking forward to that.
I can see it burning inside of you. We're talking about audio, not just music, audio in general, in the digital age and how it's impacted and tools and resources and things you can do and the coolness of some of the tools out there. And
you're a powerful tool.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No problem.
We've got resources for powerful tools posted online, datadoctors.com/radio, or if you can't figure out the whole slash business, then just go to datadoctors.com, click where it says radio show. You'll be united with the same content as the slash folk. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there, and probably people listening, that use digital audio every day and may not even realize it, and that is with the whole books on tape that now is books on MP3.
Mm.
A lot of people I know, my mother-in-law, big books on tape, but now books on iPod fan. She does a lot of... She lives up like 20 minutes east of Payson, and she makes that drive down to the valley because, well, my wife and our kids, so her grandkids and daughter, and her other daughter and other grandkids are all down here, and her other daughter and other grandkids, so everybody is down here, and she comes down a lot, and on that long drive, she's doesn't listen to music a whole lot, not a lot of radio stations up in the boomchick Payson land of of nothingness in radio, and anyway... She does a lot of that on those long drives, she listens to books, and that's a big thing for her. And when the thought never occurred to her, with all the people downloading music and buying iPods, it just never occurred to her that she could stop actually getting tapes of books, and she could put it on an iPod and stop with all the silliness. And so her world was rocked when she found that there you could go and download books all over the place. And you just like downloading songs, you pay like a buck or so, and you get the whole book, and you listen to it again and again, whatever you want, and rocked her world.
Yeah, I bet it did.
Yeah. So it's not just for those music heads. Back to the phones?
Yeah. Take another one.
Let's talk to Arthur.
Arthur?
Yes, sir. What's your name, sir? I forgot.
My first name is Arthur. But nobody knows that. Everybody calls me Brandon.
Brandon. Mr.
Yes, sir.
Brandon, I'd like to talk to you about, there's a unit come out, size of a Pall Mall cigarettes, and it records and play 170 hours digitally.
Okay.
And may I mention a brand?
Sure.
It's Olympus.
Okay. Olympus, like the guys who make digital cameras and stuff?
Right. Okay. And 170 hours of recording or play. Digitally. Now, my question is, can they make also same process for video?
Yeah.
Video takes up a lot more space. You're not going to get probably the same amount of time as far as hours.
Yeah, but I'm talking about instead of having a CDs, I mean, or a DVDs or a tape, like VCR tapes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, too, could they come up with a for video?
They already did.
It's already done, sir.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Most of the, I mean, iPod being the biggest name in the business, so to speak, all of the new iPods, whether it's the Nano, the regular iPod, the iPod Touch, the iPhone, they all support video.
Well, and then on top of that, there's a couple video cameras. The first company that released it was Sony, that it records everything onto a hard drive that's really like the one in your computer. Stores it on that, and you can copy it through a USB port or FireWire, and then edit it on the PC.
And video or audio, both are nice and clear?
I'm sorry?
The video or audio,
yeah, the ones,
nice and clear?
The ones he's talking about, they're like the old camcorders, but you don't have to lug big, bulky tapes and things around.
Correct.
It stores it on an actual hard drive. There are a few still out there, but they're not, probably diminishing, that actually burn right onto DVDs in real time. That's probably not the greatest way to go, because most people want to take the footage and then they want to do some editing and things, and that DVD format's just not the best way to do that.
Yeah, I'm talking about instead of buying a VCR or DVD, do they have a unit that could buy some?
Yeah, that is a computer that would actually play that kind of stuff.
The video iPods, and these days they don't even distinguish. I mean, all the iPods will play video. They're even the kids' little consoles. PlayStation Pro. You'll see if you go to stores sometimes, certain movies they put out on a format that works and plays directly in those PlayStations. Those little small handheld games. They're talking about they being sort of media companies. Very soon, albums, if you either buy MP3s and you download them, or you buy a CD, very soon they're talking about releasing them on little digital media cards, like smart memory cards and things.
Interesting.
And I wouldn't be surprised that we see movies move to that same kind of format in the future as well, so it's
well, what's going to happen to DVD discs?
CDs haven't gone away completely, even though we've had MP3 players for a long time, so I don't think it's anytime soon they'll be going away, but eventually.
I see. It's interesting. You know any kind of a store in Phoenix that could look into?
That if you're talking about the video stuff, it already exists right now. If you can go to the Apple stores and you can see them working in action. You could go to any electronics retailer. I'm sure you'll find that stuff as well. But the technology you're talking about, we don't have to wait for it. It's already here. We're talking about music in the digital age or audio in the digital age. And we've got resources posted for you anytime online at datadoctors.com/radio. We've also got a line open for you, 602-277-5827. For the rest of you, and I'm talking to you, John, Jackie, Dave, and the other John, sit tight. I promise we're going to get your calls just as soon as we get back from this very short break, where we get you caught up on what's happening in the world. So stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. Kevin Church, Brandon Disney here. We're the Data Doctors. We're hooking you up with technology love, with computer finagling, with digital audio bliss. We've got resources posted for you online at datadoctors.com/radio. And one line open, 602-277-5827. And as I promised before we went to the break, I said we'd jump right back in on the phones, and I'm going to make good on that promise and start up next with John, one of two Johns. Welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. How can we help?
Well, you don't need my help, but your listeners may be interested. There's some great freeware audio player out there called Media Monkey.
Media Monkey?
Yeah, just go to MediaMonkey.com, and it's, you know, it's put together. Obviously, when you go to the information part, it shows you that there's a million people that have had input on it, and it's you can send them some money and get an upgraded version and a lifetime, you know, subscription to it, which allows you to get free upgrades. But it's it links automatically to most, probably at least a half a dozen of the personal players that are out there, the most relevant ones, and it allows you to do a lot more, many more things than iTunes does. So it's just thought people would be interested in that.
So John says it's a more gooder version.
It's a better, more better.
More betterer.
More better.
Perfect. Yes. All right. Well, thanks for the suggestion, John. And nothing you need our help on. You just wanted to throw that out there?
No. Just, yep.
Well, I appreciate you hanging on hold for so long to let people know.
Not a problem.
Thanks. Have a great weekend.
Good talking to you guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. Another choice. Media Monkey, and it has a cool name. Media Monkey. I might have to try that out. He says it's more betterer. I was just on the website really quick when he was talking about it, and something it says it does, which drives me crazy. So I have, over time, amassed a bunch of audio, all from legal sources, of course.
Of course.
It's not well tagged, and for those that listen to media a lot, you know what I'm talking about, right? You got all this stuff, and it's just, it's not in folders. It's not properly named. It just says, you know, something that sort of identifies it, but it's not well tagged. You don't know really what its content is. And I've seen people who have just beautiful collections where every song you go to play, it has all the full title and the artist and the genre and all this stuff. Mine doesn't look like that. This thing says it can help with that because it ties into a lot of the music database programs that are out there, some of the sites and things, and it can pull that stuff in, so that might be worth a shot. Its big thing is it talks about organizing your music quickly and easily, which, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
I've tried that out. Let's jump back on the phones. Up next, it's Dave. He called us at 602-277-5827. There's a line for you. That's the hint. Dave, welcome.
Hey, I just had something to add, too. I found this great, it's more of a radio, it's called Pandora.
Yes.
And have you heard of that?
Yeah, we talked about it a few minutes ago.
You know, I've been on hold, so I wasn't hearing it. I was listening and heard the MP3 players being discussed, and I thought, you know what, Pandora really seems, because it's that same type of cool thing. You just
absolutely cool.
You know, you play what you want to, and then you rank up and down, and then it knows exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's like you give it a starter, and then it sort of guides your life after that. And after a little while, it does really figure out what it is you probably will dig, and it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's surprisingly accurate.
Hey, Dave, you want to check another one out that's similar but different? Check out SeekPod. You spell it SeekPod.com.
Okay.
So you can try that on for size. It's all different. Right. It's different than Pandora, but you might just like that too.
All right, outstanding. Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for the call.
You know, Pandora's gotten big enough, too, where it's actually an app for the iPhone. You can stream onto your cell phone all these songs and be able to do the I like this, I don't like this kind of mess.
And 10 minutes later, you have no more battery.
Exactly.
Have you noticed that when you do the Pandora?
Oh, well,
on the phone?
It's like a constant connection, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it buffers and stuff, but it's connecting a lot.
Yeah.
There's rumors that Pandora may be in trouble financially and may not be around a whole lot longer. I don't know.
That's too bad.
Apparently, they pay like what's called ASCAP fees and things to be able to play the music like any kind of radio station. And for some reason, recording industry is trying to increase fees to companies like them to shut them down because they think it's somehow going to hurt them. And if anything, I think it probably helps them because when you hear a song you really like that you haven't heard in a while, you, ooh, maybe I need to get that. And because you can't tell it exactly what to play when you want it to play, you have to kind of wait for it, like the radio. Well, I think a lot of people probably would be tempted to go and buy what they just heard. And so I don't know that it's a real smart idea of the recording industry to try to shut something like that down.
Yeah, with everything that's gone on, the recording industry, I'm sure, is pretty defensive of any of those services, starting with Napster. But, you know, over time, if I'm sure they see their profits decrease, they're going to get irritated over those kinds of services.
Yeah. We've got somebody on the phone that I think has a question that I'm guessing you, because of what you do in the business, I'm guessing you've heard this one a lot. I'm going to let Jackie tell us what her issue is, and let's see what Kevin thinks about it. Jackie?
Yes.
Welcome to the Computer Corner.
Thank you.
Tell me what your problem is.
I just got a new computer, and it's got Vista on it, and I've been contemplating downgrading to XP. So I was getting all geared up and reading about how to do that with a dual boot and getting a second hard drive. And I just read something today that Microsoft has a virtual PC 2007 tool that may allow your Vista machine with some modifications to operate like the XP without having to do the exercise of creating the dual boot system and the extra hardware.
Yeah, you're going to go down a path that you're probably going to want to pull your hair out by the time you're done if you go down that dual boot path.
Okay.
Why don't you like Vista? What's the problem you're having with it?
I'm not used to it. The learning curve, some of my older applications, I haven't tested them on it, but they're... Some of them are pretty old that I don't think...
You know, we're in a weird spot right now because a lot of people don't really care for Vista, and usually it's because it's new and, you know, albeit it's not the easiest thing to learn, it never is in an operating system, but I remember when XP came out, a lot of people were trying to force keeping Windows 98, or if they had Windows ME, they were trying to do that. And at the end of the day, that's what Microsoft will support, and they will eventually stop supporting XP.
Now, there's a couple of different camps, Jackie, when it comes to Vista. People usually aren't down that path either because of compatibility issues or because they just don't like it. And if it's just that you don't like it, there's actually something that you can do that most people aren't aware of to make Windows Vista look and feel very similar to the way Windows XP look and felt, so that if that barrier of having to learn something new is part of your issue, mm-hmm. that can be taken away real quickly. And so then you're just left with the whole compatibility. Yeah, there'll be a few things that are different, but for the most part, it makes things look and feel a lot like the old days. And I've had people in the past who've called in wanting to get rid of their Vista, and they've spent a bunch of time trying to go down a path, and when I tell them about how to switch into classic mode, which is what it's called, I get quite a few of them giving me a call back or writing later on saying, you guys gave the suggestion, and it was awesome, and now I don't care. I can keep Vista, and I'll slowly transition, and when I'm ready, I'll flip the switch back over to all the Vista bells and whistles.
Okay.
So if it's really more you're just apprehensive because it's different, then we can take a look at how to switch that thing into what's called classic mode and probably make your life a lot more gooder.
Yeah, I think that might be a solution that might help me out. But have you all heard of the Virtual PC 2007 tool that Microsoft has out there that... And maybe that's what it is.
They've had Virtual PC out for a number of years, and there's other companies that make similar products. What it allows you to do is you end up loading, for example, Windows XP,
right.
as an application inside of Windows Vista, and it's kind of complicated. It's kind of weird. It will make your entire computer run slower because it's running two operating systems sort of simultaneously. And I can tell you, most people that go down that path, there's reasons why you would want to do something like that, but usually it's for testing, usually it's for other things, and I don't think it's a very good consumer use, long-term kind of thing.
Okay.
That's just my own kind of personal opinion. Tell you what, I'm going to pop you on hold, Jackie, because we're running up against a break, and I'm going to take you off the air, see if we can finish up answering a few of your questions. We got room for you, 602-277-5827. A quick timeout here. We'll be back right after this short break. All right, so Vicky's going to switch to her Windows Classic mode and see if her fears are lessened. And for anybody else playing along, if you have Windows Vista and you're not quite sure you like this new look and feel, if you're buying a new computer and you're trying to decide, eventually you're going to be going that direction. So you might want to start by baby steps. And if you do a quick Google search for Windows Vista Classic mode, you'll see, I'm sure, lots of people have detailed step-by-step how to switch the interface. They actually have something called Classic Mode. You can switch the interface to look and feel like the previous operating system. And they've had this feature for a long time. In Windows XP, it exists. The same kind of thing. You can go into, I believe, the control panel and then some settings and things. And you can change things to look more like they used to in the old days. And Microsoft introduced that. I think it was back with Windows ME. And they've kept that around since because people, you know, have a hard time sort of getting switched over. In Windows Vista or XP, if you go into the control panel, I think the place you want to look for is the taskbar and start menu properties. And in there, you'll find some switches to turn on and off to instantate classic mode. So you can make things look like you're used to. That'll help bridge that gap. If you're dealing with compatibility issues with software, then you got to start looking at, well, is there an upgrade? Is there a new version? Is there, whatever the case is. But do your homework before you do that. And if you really are looking for something with Windows XP, there are still plenty of retailers out there. We have people coming into our stores all the time who buy computers from us with Windows XP. We can still get it. We still probably sell maybe 50-50, would you say?
Yeah, it's getting closer to that.
I mean, 6 months ago, we sold probably 90% Windows XP machines. Today, it's about 50-50, and probably by the holidays, it'll start to slide the other direction. So I think the world's starting to slowly adopt it. I guess I can't blame you for not wanting to rush into something new, but it's not so new anymore. So if you're worried about, well, it's brand new, and I'm going to let them work the bugs out, and they've had a good year and a half now to do that. They got most of the bugs, quote-unquote, worked out. I've got machines in my house that run Windows Vista. If I was putting together a new computer for my in-laws today, I'd put Windows Vista on it. No big deal.
That may not be saying a lot if you do it for your in-laws.
No, that's saying a ton.
Oh, okay.
Because for a guy who works in the industry, who when there's a problem, when they're confused, who do you think they're going to call?
Good point.
Yeah. So your in-laws is actually the best test because you're screwed if you don't give them what's going to be good. They're going to call you all the time. That's why I said them. Anyway.
Gotcha.
Where are we at time-wise? If I take a call now, then Pete's going to give me the evil eye, and then he'll look at me like with the disappointed face that he gives me, like, I can't believe you're such a rookie, which is true. So I don't think I'll do that. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the resources you can find at our website right now for digital audio or audio in the digital age. You can find the resources datadoctors.com/radio. Sony is kind of trying to make a resurgence with their Walkman brand of MP3 players. The Sony products in the last couple of years have gotten real weird.
All of them. I don't know what's happened to Sony overall, but
they
were a company really matter
that used,
what it is.
They used to be, I mean, when back in the day, when you had a machine that you could walk around with that played cassettes and you put earphones on, everybody called that a Walkman, regardless of whose brand it was. I mean, they were the iPod of the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the lines, they made a big, bad misstep. And today, they're no one in that sort of consumer electronics space.
Well, for a long time, Sony was making these weird proprietary systems they wanted to take off so that they owned the rights to it. And
You mean like the what's that? What was that player?
The mini disc.
Mini disc. Great idea, right? Instead of those discs getting scratched, it was protected in a little case. Smart. Yeah, Pete's got one right there. It's used in the radio industry a ton. Great idea. They just didn't want to share with anybody. And I understand that, but it's going to be hard for your technology to be adopted when you're the only player in town.
Yeah.
Now they want to try to get back in with Walkman MP3 players. I don't know.
We'll see.
We're talking digital audio or audio in the digital age. You can find the resources, again, online at datadoctors.com/radio. When we come back, it's time for our Geek Speak of the Week, our Head Whack of the Week, and, of course, more of your calls and questions. Kevin, Brandon, we are the Data Doctors. We're here for another half hour, so stick around. Welcome back to the final 30 minutes of the Computer Corner. I think we figured out our technology issues that were causing recordings of the show to fail the last couple of weeks. So this show ought to be back in all of its digital glory. And hopefully we won't have the problem in the future anymore and life will be good. So you can check out archives. That's past shows for you, Kevin.
Thank you for explaining that.
Datadoctors.com/radio. You can click on past shows, and I think we got a couple years worth. You can go back in time and see resources, listen to the show in its entirety. All kinds of good stuff. Right?
So, how about 10 years ago when you first started this?
Yeah.
Can't hear that?
No, we don't. I don't think we have any of that.
You don't
that
have
far
them
back.
On cassette tapes or anything?
No, I don't think we have them that far back, sir. Mm. Really sorry.
Probably a lot of relevant information on those shows, too.
It would be interesting to listen back. It'd be like a time capsule. Because you know how much the world has changed in 10 years. Think about how much technology's changed.
Did your voice crack back then? Or were you past that when you started the...
Yeah, no, I think it was a little rough.
Yeah.
A little rough.
Hmm.
I was freaked as could be the first time I sat behind one of these microphones in this studio. I was freaked out.
It's kind of intimidating, and it's all in your head. It's not like there's a lot of people in here. There's you and me.
And there's
the
Pete.
Booth, yep.
And there's Dr. Benjamin, who's getting ready to do his thing here shortly. And on the weekends, it's pretty low-key around here. What, a dozen people in the building, maybe?
But when you're looking at the mic, like the ear of millions of people.
Millions? What, are you crazy?
Billions of people.
Are you out of your mind?
I bet you they listen to this in Saudi Arabia.
Actually, we had a call once from the United Arab Emirates.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody figured out the time zone difference. They were there. They called. We've had calls from Scotland. We've had calls from Chandler. I mean, from all of them.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy, isn't
it? Oh, my God.
But United Arab Emirates, I think I was the furthest away. The guy called. He was listening online. This was a couple years ago when listening online was new, and we were just kind of freaked out. Like, really? Really? You're in the UAE, and you're... Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's time for that thing we do. That thing that Pete's had his finger poised over the button of the digital audio player. Waiting to cue up the music for this week's Geek Speak of the Week. Take it away, Kevin.
It's bitrate.
Bitrate?
Yep.
Bitrate.
Bitrate has to do with the amount of information that's in each second of an audio file. How much data is in each second?
How many, bits per second?
Kilobits per second.
Really?
So the more that's in it, the better the song will sound because there's more information to play.
Right, so why wouldn't you just stuff it full of the biggest number of bits you possibly could?
Well, because then it takes up a lot of hard drive space.
So the trade-off is that the higher the bit rate...
Well, kind of like what the gentleman said earlier about the Olympus voice recorder
right.
has 170 hours. Well, it only does that if it sounds terrible.
Right.
If it's good, it's like an hour. So, you know...
It's not quite that bad.
How far it's compressed
so
is...
So to give you an idea, right, uncompressed, just music, uncompressed... Versus sort of what's considered a standard MP3 compression at 128K bitrate. About a 10-to-1 ratio, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you take one song, for example, Kevin's favorite, Elton John. sorry.
That's all right.
And you take that song and you run it through a a converter, or a ripper, as it's more appropriately called, and you rip that song to an MP3 and you make it 128K bits, right? Bit rate, 128K. That song is going to be about a tenth the size it was, therefore allowing you to store 10 times more stuff on your audio player. That's why the MP3 technology was really developed. And there's lots of other stuff out there that's like MP3 that does the same kind of thing. Most people will say that acceptable quality for a MP3 player that gives you a pretty decent balance of size and quality is somewhere around that 128, maybe 100 and what's the next one up? 192?
The 192 is a little bit more popular anymore.
Yeah, 192. So that's usually what's pretty popular. Some people are a little bit nutso and they say, no, I must go all the way up to like 320K, which means it's roughly three times the size of what was the sort of standard when MP3s were first developed. So you're going to fit a third of the files you would have fit. Now, media players these days, an iPod, typical iPod you go out and buy, those things will be 8 gig, right?
Yeah.
Pretty standard. That's pretty much the popular size. 8 gigabytes, if you do the math on that, you can fit a lot of songs, even at a pretty high bit rate on that thing.
At a decent bit rate, you know, depending on the kind of music you listen to, most songs are 3 to 5 minutes long. A gig will get you about 200 songs at a decent recording.
So an 8 gig, then, let's do our quick math on that. That's about 1,500, 1,800 songs, somewhere in that range, depending on song length and stuff like that. Now, if you're listening to a lot of, you know, like Pink Floyd, where it's the extended 18-minute version song that never ends, do you feel like I do?
Mm-hmm.
That's not Pink Floyd, that's Frampton. Anyway, you get my point. You're going to take up more stuff, take up more space.
Yeah. I think I'd be a little afraid of your MP3 player.
Why is that?
I get the feeling you might have some Celine Dion in that thing.
Celine Dion, yeah. I'd blame it on my wife, but
you look like a dude that'd probably have that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
But I guess I have Elton John, so I guess that evens out.
Goodbye, Norma Jean.
Yeah.
Back to the phones?
Yeah.
We can see if we can actually do something, you know,
do
helpful.
Some good and
do some good in the world. Let me see where we're at. I think up next was John, who's been hanging out a really long time. John, we appreciate your patience, and how can we help?
Hi, Brandon. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call, even though I'm off topic.
It's okay. We'll take off-topicers.
I think I hosed up my Media Center PC by trying to install a PCI card in memory at the same time.
You hosed up? That's really technical terms. You hosed it up. Tell me what's happening.
Well, I made the fatal error of assuming that installing memory was going to be as straightforward and simple as it was for my previous PC, which was Windows 98 SE.
Okay. Generally, installing memory is pretty straightforward, but sometimes there's exceptions to that. Tell me what's causing your frustration today?
Well, when when I booted up the PC after installing the memory and the PCI card, it stopped in the middle of booting and gave me a screen full of white text on a black screen. And after reading through all of the text to figure out what in the heck caused it to stop, I found one line that said the amount of memory had changed.
Okay.
And I was presented with three options. Two buttons. One button was continue.
Yep.
Another option was Alt-I for setup, and there was a second button that I don't recall what that was, but I chose the continue button because it didn't seem like there was any error. All it was saying was that there was new memory, and it didn't indicate there was any problem, so
okay,
I said
so
continue.
Let's fast forward to the problem.
Okay. What happened was apparently the memory was bad, and in the process of installing PCI software, the PCI card software,
mm-hmm.
The installation did not go well. It aborted.
So, John, are you getting an error message? Is there an actual problem? What? First, let's just back up for people listening. If you're going to install hardware in your machine,
mm-hmm.
one thing to learn from John's trials here. Do one thing at a time. So if you've got three things to do, pick one, do it first, and then move on to the next. Because that way, if a problem occurs, you have a better idea of what caused the problem instead of you did a couple of things all at once and now you've got an issue, and so what's happening here? So we've gotten past the memory issue. Now you've moved on to the PCI card. Some issue occurred, and that issue is?
When I tried to run the My HD TV software for that PCI card.
Yes.
Nothing happens.
All right. So.
And I can't uninstall because it says that the uninstall.isu program or file, whatever that is, did not get installed, and so it can't uninstall.
Okay. So what you're going to need to do is it sounds like there's no issue with the memory. It did what it should normally do, and it alerted you, something's changed. You said, okay, everything's cool, right?
Well, I took it out. I took the memory out because I was getting all kinds of blue screens and frozen PC. You know, the whole thing would just lock up.
Right, so it's important when you install more memory that you make sure it's matched exactly with the speed, the type. There's a bunch of technical kind of specs. And you got to make sure those things match. Sometimes you have to put them in pairs, not just singles. All kinds of things to pay attention to there. As far as that
shouldn't be a problem. I just think the memory might have been defective.
Yeah, it's possible. Pretty unlikely. I mean, memory these days has gotten pretty solid, but anything's possible. I would never buy the cheapest of anything, and especially when it comes to computer components. So anything that you buy with memory, I wouldn't buy anything that doesn't have a lifetime memory warranty. That's pretty normal in that industry. And if it doesn't have a lifetime warranty, it's probably only a few bucks for the one that does. So keep that in mind if you go back to swap that thing out. For your add-on PCI card, if you're having issues getting it installed in things, that's the beauty of buying something retail like that, is that you get to call the company who made it and say, hey, I'm having these problems, and let them walk you through what's happening. Chances are it's happened to somebody else too. They'll know step by step what needs to happen.
Okay. I'll give that a try.
But do yourself a big favor. Do one thing at a time and make sure it's working before you move on to the next.
Well, let me ask you something. When I was installing that memory, I expected that it would run a diagnostic during boot up, just like it did with the Windows 98 machine.
No, it won't. It should boot up and do exactly what it did, which is alert you that something's changed and then allow you to continue, acknowledge that, or go in and configure things. It did exactly what it's supposed to do. So.
Well, I never saw any diagnostic run to check out the memory.
Yeah, there's no such thing built into the operating system. There was nothing built into Windows 98. There was something built into what's called the BIOS of older computers that would do a what looked like a diagnostic test of RAM. I can tell you that didn't really do anything other than count RAM, but a lot of people thought it was actually testing it. If you want to test RAM, there's software and tools and things out there to do that, but there's never been an operating system that Microsoft's ever made that I'm aware of that's ever done any RAM testing as a part of the boot up operation.
Oh, okay.
Now, Microsoft does make a program called MemTest 86, I believe it's called, and it's a piece of software. You generally create a boot disk and boot to it, and it'll test memory, but it's never been built into the operating system per se.
Can I bring this memory into one of your stores and have it checked out?
I'm sure if you want to give one of the stores a call and say, hey, I can't tell you for sure they'll be able to because it's really going to depend, and you'd probably be a lot better off bringing more than just the stick of RAM. You'd be better off bringing the machine.
Sure.
That way somebody can verify this is at least the right kind of RAM, and it doesn't need to be in pairs and, you know, all those kinds of things. But, yeah, you're welcome to drop by and just,
excellent.
I'm sure,
that's what I'll do.
Sure they'll help you out.
Thank you, Brandon.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good luck. It's like pulling teeth sometimes.
Well, you know, when you're trying to learn and add these things and do something yourself that, you know, you got to reach out sometimes.
Yeah, no. It's... Don't only do one thing at a time.
For
anybody else out there, just do it yourself or one at a time. Make your life a lot better.
A lot more gooder.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick time out. We got Dave, we got Roger, and I think we got room for you. 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Kevin and Brandon right back after this. Welcome back. It's the final segment of the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show, fear not. We've got resources for how to get yourself into the digital age of audio. They're posted right now. They're posted tomorrow. They're posted next week, next month, next year, next decade. They'll be there forever.
Word.
Datadoctors.com/radio. That's where you find them. Did you say word?
Yeah, it kind of felt like you were rapping for a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Will Smith?
Sure.
I could only wish.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the ladies you'd have if you were cool like that?
Yeah.
Could you imagine even being cool?
I can't even imagine being halfway cool.
So. Right.
I'm sure out there that concept works for somebody, but yeah. Not for me.
Let's see if we can round out with the last couple of callers. You know how we had two Johns before?
How many of now, what do we have now?
Now we have two Daves. Hmm. What's the deal today? It's craziness, huh? Let's try Dave number one. Dave, welcome to the Computer Corner. Dave one. Actually, Dave four. Dave on line four. Maybe Dave is listening to his radio instead of to the phone, so we're going to try the other Dave, and then we'll come back to the other Dave. Dave, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Good afternoon. How you doing today?
Great. How can we help you?
Actually, what I'm trying to do is my wife has about $2,000 worth of games she's purchased online.
Games?
And we're trying to find a way to get the registry information copied over before we're going to do a complete backup. And then my brother had done it once before, but I had no idea how we did it.
You want to back up the registry?
Yeah, the registry information. He has all the registration numbers for all the games we downloaded.
Sure. So what is it you think you're going to do with a copy of the registry?
Basically, what I did was last time he did it, he made a copy of like a WordPad file, and it had all of the registration numbers by the name of the game on it.
Okay. The registry is it's got literally at least tens of thousands and maybe millions of entries in it?
Correct.
I don't know how you're going to sift through all those and find exactly what you're looking for.
Well, all the games are listed towards the end.
Okay. I mean, if you want to go back up the registry, it's pretty simple.
Okay. And how would I do that?
You click on Start.
Okay.
Go to the Run box.
Right.
And in there, type in Reg Edit, R-E-G-E-D-I-T, all one word.
Okay.
And normally, I don't like to get people into the registry because it can be a scary land, but if you just want to do a backup, once you're there, up on the upper left, click on File.
Okay.
And then Export.
Export. Yep. Okay.
And then pick a spot you can remember, like your desktop.
Okay.
And type a file name in, like Full Registry Backup by Dave on January 26th. Type in something you remember and hit Save, and a minute or two later, you're going to have a complete backup of your registry.
All right. Thank you much.
You bet. That was easy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I don't think it's going to do what he thinks it's going to do for him, but there's how you get a backup of your registry.
Worth a shot.
Sure. Okay. Maybe, how do I have time-wise? You know what? Let's try the other Dave really quick and see. We might have to cut him short. Dave? There is no Dave. All right. We're going to try to see if we take him off the air. And really quick, Roger.
Yes, sir.
Hey, there's Roger. We found him.
Hello, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. We got about a minute and a half, so make it quick.
I'll make it real quick. I have saved about 800 files, text files, on my computer. They are strictly lyrics to songs with guitar chords to them, and I practice in front of my computer. Is there a somewhat non-complicated way that I could maybe put those on a CD or DVD and bring them into the living room and show them on my TV screen so that I could practice in front of the TV?
Wow.
I don't have a DVD player right now. I'm still using the VCR situation, but I'd be glad to buy one if that would work, you know.
You want to take text files and somehow be able to view them on your TV screen or the equivalent of?
Yes, sir.
There is like a very easy way.
Like I do photographs or something like that, you know.
If your computer has the output for S-Video, your S-Video cable will plug in from your computer to your TV. That way you don't have to fool around with the mess of burning and trying to make it compatible and buying software to dump it into video editing tools. Just plug it into your TV.
Get your computer and your TV together in the same place and have yourself a ball.
Yeah, one's in the living room, one's in the office is the problem with that. And I don't have any Wi-Fi or anything such as that.
Well, you pick up the computer and carry it into the other room.
See, there's the old-fashioned method.
Putting them on a DVD is not going to work, in other words.
It'll be tough.
I mean, I'm sure there's a way to do it, but it's definitely more than what we can get into on the air. It's not a quick copy-paste, and there you go.
All right.
So, I mean, if you want to do a little Google searching for that kind of operation of what you're trying to do, I'm sure you might find something out there, but wow. That's a new one for me.
Yeah.
Again, if you missed any part of the show, Kevin wants you to know you can find all the contents, all the resources, all the links, all the information for how to get audio from the analog age to the digital age and back again. We've got cool stuff. datadoctors.com/radio. That'll be there. And hopefully, if things went well, cross our fingers, toes, and whatever else, the digital audio of this particular show will be available for you early next week. And That's all. Yeah. Until next time, Kevin Church, Brandon Disney, the Data Doctor's reminding you, if you don't need it, don't install it. See you next week.